5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to your daily dose of facts to fight off the liberal gaslighting.
You can be in the middle of a hurricane.
You have sanctuary in the city of Chicago.
Or you can be on a calm day. North is still north. You could be in a thunderstorm.
I am angry. We are not going back. Not ever.
North is still north. People can yell at you.
The hell with the Supreme Court. We will defy them.
North is still north. It doesn't change fundamental things. And in this business, right is still right, even if you stand by yourself.
We don't get fooled again. No, no.
Live across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea, we're converting the Marxist left 1 hour at a time on the Wendy Bell radio program.
Hey!
Hello, America and beyond the fruited plain. Welcome home to the Wendy Bell Radio program, your home for common sense, conservative values. We are super excited to have you today. I think it's a great conversation, especially at the halfway mark. All right. Little teaser beezer before we get into the nuts and bolts. We are going to be joined by phone from the Cumberland Federal Prison by Oath Keepers founder, Stuart Rhodes. And I think it is a conversation. I know it is a conversation that you need to hear. Because I think the closer we get to November, the more we need to start doing our independent searching for facts. And that is what we do on this program 5 days a week, 15 hours every single week for you. If you're new, Wendy Bell Radio Network app, follow along the live video stream. We're also the top female podcaster, political podcaster on Rumble. So check us out there, or the Wendy Bell Radio podcast. No matter how you do it, how you get us, thanks for being here and welcome home. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. You know, I talked yesterday about this idea of this jigsaw puzzle out on our coffee table, right? On America's collective dining room table is this giant jigsaw puzzle. And there are all sorts of different pieces. We don't know how they fit together, and it's literally a trial and error. And there are various people, like if you've ever done this on vacation, we do this on vacation. Everybody kind of takes a zone, right? I'm going to do the blue flat edges over here. You've got what looks like to be a balloon or something. You've got that. Everybody is focused on getting together the pieces that look like they go according to their design that they can put together. We are finding the picture becoming so much more clear. And one of the things that we are supposed to not talk about that has been vilified, and people who've dared to ask questions about have been called the big lie pushers, believers in this big lie. I think one of the most important things for us to remember moving forward is that there is no way Joe Biden won that 2020 election. It is not wrong for me to say that. It does not make me extreme. It doesn't make me a conspiracy theorist. It is me at America's dining room table putting together my section of the puzzle and seeing the picture emerge. We've known this for years. And this exhaustive cover-up, all these ancillary smoke screens that allowed the theft of a presidential election in the United States of America. The biggest story in my lifetime. I'm going to say even more than Joe Biden being a treasonous, corrupt, alleged president. This is bigger than that. All right? Now, the reason why I'm saying this is I kind of stumbled upon some video 3 years after the fact, 3+ years after the fact of the election of 2020, 3 and a half. in Fulton County, Georgia, where a forensic expert is testifying before a judge and all sorts of people about election anomalies in the state of Georgia. Now, they don't want you to know any of this. Judges don't want to get involved. They don't want to hear these cases. The media don't want to talk about it because they're in on the scam. And so the only way it gets out is by people like this program, other people out there on social media who find and share and hope that each of us is alert enough and interested enough and willing to put in the time to investigate. I want to tell you a little bit about this Fulton County, Georgia election guy, okay? Because this is going to underscore everything that is going on today. If we can all just agree that the biggest ripoff, it wasn't COVID. It wasn't January 6th. It was nothing of the, it's not the LGBT nonsense agenda. It is the theft of a presidential election. It is thwarting the re-election of a highly effective outsider who did a phenomenal job policy-wise with so many people working against him, with the media hating him, right? They knew the guy was going to get reelected. So I just want to tell you this. The mainstream media will not cover it. Judges will not hear it. People will not prosecute it. And so we're in this cycle of suck for years and years and years. And it does not change the story that they freaking stole from each of us in concert in various cities across America. Fulton County, Georgia, just one of them. And they were able to do this with a corrupt Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, a suck Republican governor in Brian Kemp, and a lot of moving parts here that all work together to evaporate a more than 100,000 point lead, vote lead for Donald Trump at the end of November 3rd and erase it to be a more than 100,000 vote gain for Donald or for Joe Biden. All right, listen to this. There's a gentleman named Garland Favorito. He's from Voter Georgia, Voter GA. He testified on six affidavits alleging counterfeit ballots in Fulton County, Georgia's 2020 election, which remain unresolved now, 3 years later. Look, they're trying to do this again. You need to know the details. These mail-in ballots weren't folded from being mailed. They were not on the correct paper stock. They were not marked with a writing instrument. They were marked with toner. And they were all marked the same way. And this is according to senior poll managers who signed court affidavits. After 3 years, we have still not seen the ballots for which there were six sworn affidavits claiming that they were counterfeit. This is not how you investigate things, ladies and gentlemen. Additionally, over 70 counties in Georgia reportedly destroyed their original ballot images. That is a violation of federal and state election laws requiring their retention for 2 years. I think the magic number is 22 months. 70 counties destroyed, lost, misplaced. What? Ballot images? What are you talking about? It's the same song and dance. Now, this gentleman, Garland Favorito's testimony is part of the disbarment hearing for a former United States Assistant Attorney General. This is after the county failed. This is after Fulton County failed to verify signatures on 147,000 mail-in ballots. It is so egregious. It is so outrageous. It is so in your face and so obvious. And they will stop at nothing to tell you that you don't know what you're talking about. And one of the favorite ploys on the left is to accuse your opponent, your enemy, whomever is against you, of doing what you yourself are doing now. This is what they do. This is the strategy. This cannot continue. I did more digging. Ready? Original ballot images in 70 counties destroyed. Fulton County ballot images were electronically altered before the results were certified in 2020. 8,000 double copied ballots, 8,000 double scanned ballots. And Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger went to court to prevent a review of the ballots they did have. Now that you know that, just assembling your pieces of the puzzle at the dining room table, are you beginning to see more and more the final product? Hillary Clinton comes out today with a video warning that Republicans are plotting to steal the 2024 election. The pieces are there, my friends. So the challenge for us today, come to the table, stand there with me, look through your pieces, look at everybody else's images and see where the connections are, because it is predictable and it is easy to put together. That is what you and I will do together today. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, I love this part of polling for you, how Donald Trump is leading Joe Biden in one particular area, one state. And I think you'll be able to figure out why. Don't go anywhere. This is the Wendy Bell Radio program. Back right after this. So the theme of today's show, if there is one, is the panic is real. And I think that you have people who have been comfortable on the left, people in the uniparty right, swamping together, doing everything contrary to what we need, what we want, what's good for us, in order to hide their fraud and malfeasance, their treasonous activity, their impeachable offenses, and to basically desperately, cravenly stay in office. I really don't think there's much of a debate about that. But they're panicking now because this mass migration that's been going on, this whole global compact on kumbaya, open up your doors, let everybody from everywhere come in, which is so ripe for everything wrong, is going to be the tipping point. And I think this new Breitbart story is very illustrative of that. I would be surprised if Donald Trump isn't ahead of Joe Biden all across the country, and if his lead isn't far greater, even this far out, than they suggest it is. Because people can see. You see what's going on. You feel what's going on. And you don't need the media to try to tell you some song and dance that's not right. You know. Michigan poll shows Trump leading Biden as voters express support for mass deportation of illegal aliens. That's going to be it. Because you know for a second, if any of those people coming across the southern border were Donald Trump voters, Joe Biden's administration would have built a wall that was 80 feet tall and 30 feet deep, made of kryptonite, for heaven's sakes. They would not have let anybody cross. You obviously know this. Here's the story. Former President Donald Trump has the edge on President Joe Biden in the critical swing state of Michigan. This is according to a Spry Strategies poll, and it continues a trend in the Wolverine state that has persisted for months. This is a locked and loaded, diehard blue state. What the heck? Well, the poll released last night also finds that most voters in the state back mass deportation of illegal aliens. Apparently, there's not enough white, college-educated, progressive, liberal women in Michigan to sway the results here. Everybody else is awake, and they realize the alleged do-goodery of humanity and getting to the root causes of migration is a smokescreen for stealing your stuff and giving it to other people who don't deserve it. In a head-to-head matchup, I think this is huge. This is April 3rd. In a head-to-head matchup with Joe Biden, Trump leads 48% to 43.7%. Another 8.3% of respondents were unsure, didn't have an opinion, blah, blah, blah. Now, when you bring in RFK Jr., Trump is still winning. It shrinks his margin a little bit. I think it's very interesting that it's because of this issue of illegal immigration that people even there in Michigan have seen the light. Now, let's look at some new political poll numbers. This is from the Wall Street Journal. Swing states poll just released several hours ago, 10 hours ago. In Michigan, as we said, this poll shows Trump up by 3. Pennsylvania. I'm sorry. This one's kind of fun because Pennsylvania sucks. I love Pennsylvania. I live in Pennsylvania, the countryside of Pennsylvania. The majority of people outside the big cities in Pennsylvania, lovely. You want to talk about a cancer ruining a state? Go to Philadelphia, go to Pittsburgh. Outlier a little bit, Erie, right? They've ruined the state. Pennsylvania, Trump up by 3. Nevada, Trump up 48-44, plus 4 for Trump. North Carolina, Trump up by 6, you guys, 49-43. Arizona by 5, Trump leads. Georgia up by 1. And Wisconsin, neck and neck, allegedly 46-46. Now, Michigan is very interesting to me. The spry strategies, they tried to gauge all the issues important to voters, finding that when combined, economic issues do lead the way. Duh. More than a third of respondents said either the cost of living or the economy generally were the top issues for them. That works out to be about 37% of the people who were polled. Abortion received the second highest response. Really? Really? Because it's so interesting to me. There's a really cool way to not need an abortion, right? Don't get pregnant. Make better, right? I think we can have a conversation about rape and all sorts of other cutouts and all these things. I get it. That's going to be what moves 21% of the voters in Michigan. I'm sorry. Illegal immigration registered as the next highest rated top issue for voters at 14.6%. I'm going to say this now. Those things are going to switch. Immigration is going to go up. People are going to care less about abortion, even though the Democrats are going to beat that to a pulp. And the poll further finds a majority of voters, 51.6%, feel their families' economic security and personal safety was better under Donald Trump. 37% say it's better now. Zoning in further on the border and immigration, 55.7% of likely Michigan voters rate the current situation at the southern border at a crisis level. Another 21.6% said the situation is a serious problem, and most Michiganders back a mass deportation effort to remove illegal aliens from the country, including 43.7% who would strongly agree with such an undertaking. Look, this is the time for the left to begin to panic, because we are just getting the beginning of the financial and the physical safety effects of having millions of people in our country who we weren't prepared to welcome, who we don't have the finances to welcome. And you're going to hear stories coming up in the broadcast, which will blow your mind, about people being kicked out of their homes so that migrants can move in. It is not fiction. It is reality. Don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, America is drug-addled, and we're going to focus on one specific place in Michigan. Wow. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. So the story out of Detroit, and you know, I look at Detroit, I remember when I was in college at the University of Colorado, and I had a boyfriend named Brian, and he was from New Jersey. Now, I had never been to New Jersey, and he invited me home for spring break to meet his parents and to hang out and to meet some of his high school friends, whatever, my freshman, sophomore year, something like that in college. And so I did. And I had an image of New Jersey as just being this crap hole. It was beautiful. He lived out in the countryside, and we had to train in and get off at this train station, which was very quaint, and ride in these beautiful hillsides. It's not unlike rural Pennsylvania. It was magnificent. I always thought of New Jersey the way I think of Detroit, which is unfair, but the press that is gotten in these cities that are basically run into the ground by diversity hires and equity lunacy and people who are incompetent, who check boxes, and beyond that, people who are corrupt, who get money from George Soros and other people who have a vested interest in the destruction of America. And if they have to chip away at it, one ballot box, one bad politician, one corrupt district attorney, one bribed, blackmailed judge at a time, so be it. This is where James O'Keefe's undercover into Act Blue and the millions and tens and hundreds of millions of dollars that have funneled through this Act Blue fraudulently using people who have no idea that their identities have basically been stolen to create the illusion that they're giving all of this money to Democrat candidates. All of this stuff comes together. And the collateral damage, of course, is our communities. Detroit. This is a devastating headline. I'm glad it happened. But for every 90 pounds of fentanyl seized from a Detroit gas station owner, how much don't we know about? How about this Fox 2 Detroit headline? I just told you, 90 plus pounds of fentanyl. Now, what do we know about fentanyl? It is scary as balls because, like, if you were to take your salt shaker and twist it, your grinder, and grind it, and take one little piece of that salt that you would put on your food and imagine that that was fentanyl, that's enough to kill you, right? We've heard stories of police officers doing, you know, pulling somebody over. There's a medical emergency. The police officer tries to give resuscitation. You've heard about this. And there's fentanyl on the person's lips. And then the cop gets it and gets poisoned and almost dies. That is how, I mean, and we have an open door for it from China. We have Mexico allowing China to put in drug-making facilities along the border. And then we're just supposed to say, come on in. Come on in. Make sure your kids pack it somewhere in their body. Ew. 90 pounds in Detroit. Neighbors had no freaking idea. A traffic stop leading to the seizure of more than 90 pounds of fentanyl from a Detroit gas station, according to a federal court filing. This has been going on for months. A Livonia police officer stopped a driver. The driver had drugs. The driver cooperated. Driver told him about his dealer. Investigators, thank God, they haven't all been defunded in Detroit. Because do you guys want to know how many people 90 pounds of fentanyl can kill? Just ballpark. Where do you want to go with that? 20 million. 20 million. Take out the entire state of Michigan. In that one endeavor. Now, we snagged a television report. And I want you to hear it. It's almost matter-of-factly delivered. If I were to tell you there were pounds of cocaine and meth, 90 pounds of fentanyl, guns, money. It's sort of like a ho-hum thing going on. What? Listen.
The neighbors are totally devastated.
Devastated to learn this home on Littlefield Street in Detroit was allegedly a stash house for drugs, and equally disturbed by the police accusation that their neighbor was destroying lives with fentanyl.
I've been a resident here at Littlefield for over 50 years, and there's never been an incident like this.
Makes sense, because investigators say they haven't seen anything like this either.
I'd like to announce that the largest seizure of fentanyl to date in the state of Michigan was made by our officers on March 28th.
Over 90 pounds of fentanyl in powdered and pill form, enough to kill more than 20 million people, according to the DEA.
What?
An historic discovery, and as detailed in this federal complaint, this case involves Livonia Police, Michigan State Police, Clinton Township PD, and the DEA. Livonia Police Captain Gregory Yan says it all started with a single traffic stop in Livonia back in September. The person in that incident committed a minor drug violation, eventually leading investigators to 55-year-old Barry Willis, known as Blue.
According to investigators, the suspect owns this Citgo gas station and attached car wash on Detroit's west side. It's on Livernois near Davison, and ironically, it happens to be a green light partner with Detroit police.
I stopped by the gas station, was asked to leave, and I left my contact information. It's one of three locations police searched after months of surveillance and undercover drug deals with Willis. Investigators searched the home on Littlefield Street, as well as Willis's home on Dorchester Court in Clinton Township, where they arrested Willis for alleged drug trafficking in addition to the fentanyl. Police also recovered more than $150,000 in suspected drug profits, over 6 pounds of cocaine, other drug paraphernalia, expensive jewelry, and guns.
There was not a lot of traffic to make it seem as though it might be a narcotics location.
This neighbor did not want to be identified because of his employment, but he recalls another person being detained. And according to the complaint, police did take a person into custody at the Littlefield location.
That really surprised me. It did.
I can say this, that you don't sell this quantity of narcotics without having other people. You can't be a sole source and do this alone.
Now, the reason I wanted to play this for you guys, you got me at 90 pounds, which kills 20 million people. And the guy who's doing this story is very like, police say they also found 6 pounds of cocaine, which is enough to kill. Right. What are we doing? Nobody's like pants on fire, like breaking news. Wah! It's just sort of like, yeah, you know, 90 pounds fentanyl. It's like, what? This cavalier, ho-hum, yeah, it's a lot of drugs. You think? What? It's absolutely astonishing to me. Now, I could run with this a little bit as I'm standing at the dining room table assembling my jigsaw puzzle of today's insanity, right? They need you high. They need people addicted. They need us on our knees. They want you crippled. They need you destitute. That's the whole thing. That is what the Savior is all about. Oh, you need help. Don't try. Let us come and help you. I know it's too hard. It's ridiculous. Is this one of the many reasons that I'm connecting these dots? So I follow these people on X, End Wokeness, great handle. And this person puts that, holy crap. Did you guys know that the number of voters registering without a photo ID is skyrocketing in three very specific key swing states? Arizona, Texas, and Pennsylvania, the land before time. Why do you think I talk about Pennsylvania so much? People are registering to vote without identification. Here we go. Texas, you want to know how many people have registered to vote without voter ID? Here we go. Photo ID, nope, not needed. 1.2 million. 1.2 million. Pennsylvania, 580,000 people. Since the start of 2024, 580,513 people have registered to vote in Pennsylvania without a voter identification, photo ID. In Arizona, in just the first 3 months of this year, 220,731. Now, this apparently, illegals are not able to get licenses in these places, but they can get Social Security cards for work authorization permits. And that apparently is usable to register to vote. Does anybody out there see what is going on? So we've got the flood of drugs, kind of ho-hum. Yeah, well, we could kill everybody with the fentanyl we seized. Thank God we found it, right? So it wants you high, wants you scared, wants you addicted, drug-addled, desperate, on your knees, needing government assistance. I can't do it on my own. As they're bringing in millions of people who they say will work, give them a Social Security card, let them bypass photo ID requirements, register to vote, bada-bing, bada-boom, and there you go, 2024. Now, it seems very simple. I don't know about you guys. When you hear Hillary Clinton, I'm not going to play it just yet. But when you hear Hillary Clinton saying something, are you guys all on the same page as I am and it's the exact opposite? If she's saying, be aware of something these other guys are doing, it's what she and the Uniparty are doing at present. And that is exactly what is happening before our very eyes. So I'm not at all surprised that Michigan is going to Donald Trump. Were you safer? Were you better off? Were your kids better? How did they do in school? Was everything just better 4 years ago? Whoopi Goldberg on The View got mad at her co-host for submitting that there's no question under Donald Trump. And it was Alyssa Farrow, whatever her name is, whatever. She said, yeah, better under Trump. And Whoopi Goldberg basically shut her down. You're not allowed to say that. That's a stupid benchmark. It's the only benchmark you have. And then you bounce back to what I started with at the beginning of the program. That we know demonstrably in the middle of the night when all these new ballots that were pristine, that were never folded, that allegedly came in the mail, all creaseless, all filled out the same way. And it was more than 140,000 of them. And you're supposed to just say, I'm sure it was no big deal. The reporter with the 90 pounds, I'm sure it's not a big deal. Not a big deal. Do not be numb to the suck. This cannot be normal. It has to be pushed back on. Period. And that's why that four-year question is so daggone important. So we're going to talk about this on the flip side. Can you afford to retire? We've seen all these videos of like 85-year-old people going to work as greeters at Walmart. And you're like, oh my gosh, shouldn't you just be home living on retirement? Well, what if you don't have enough anymore? Because it's too expensive. What people think they need to have basically on hand to retire in Joe Biden's America... Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Program. It's interesting talking with my oldest son, Michael. Michael's going to be leaving in the next couple months. He's going to start his own shtick. And I know it's terrifying. Of course, it's terrifying for anybody. But we've been having conversations. Talking about taxes. Talking about... saving, talking about IRAs, 401ks. How does all this work? What is the goal? And of course, all I say is if you start saving now, even if you don't have a lot, if you start getting into that habit now and put it away and you just use the law of what is it? Eight? Every 8 years, your investment money's double, ostensibly in the market, kind of rule of thumb, right? Your money is going to double a lot more times, many more times when you start young than if you were to start at my age. And so we talk about the nuts and bolts of basic saving. How much do you need, do you think, in Joe Biden's America today to retire and to be able to live comfortably? So you're not like, I need to go get something, but I'm afraid to go do it. I'm on a fixed income. I mean, nobody really wants that as their retirement, where you're limited. Like, you've worked your whole life. This is time to love and live. How about this? Breitbart.com. Amount of money people believe they need for retirement jumps 53% in Joe Biden's America. Bidenflation apparently freaking people out as they look forward to their retirement years. I don't know, you look forward to it or you're like, holy crap. The amount of money American adults believe they will need to save in order to retire has jumped 15% over last year and 53% since 2020. Hey, Whoopi Goldberg, what was better, 4 years ago or today? Because apparently 4 years ago seemed a lot more affordable. It would take, you ready? This is according to people who were surveyed. $1.46 million to retire comfortably. This is according to a recent survey of just about 4,600 adults released yesterday. This is for the Wall Street Journal. That's up from 1.27 million a year ago and over 1 million more than the average survey participant's nest egg. So the average participant has $400,000 saved for retirement. And they are down more than double what they need, allegedly. That is mind-bending. Anxiety about retirement is sky high, said an economist named Teresa Ghilarducci. She said this to the Wall Street Journal. Concerns about healthcare costs. Wait a minute, I thought we had Obamacare, right? If you want to keep your doctor, you want to keep your insurance, go ahead. I mean, that's what they told us, right? For years. And instead, all of your healthcare costs went through the roof and the quality of care went through the floor. Great job, Barack. You're awesome. Now, this is what the Wall Street Journal is saying, and this is directed to millennials. Those born between the early 1980s and late 1990s sharply raised their estimates compared with before the pandemic. When they retire, millennials now expect to need $1.6 million. That's up from just under $1 million in 2020. So this is after ostensibly you pay off your house, if you can afford that anymore, which you probably can't because they've made it in such a way that renting is more affordable. So you get nothing. You own nothing and you have nothing and you like it. That's the point. 1.65 million. That's up from just under 1 million in 2020. Baby boomers born between 1946 and 1964 said that they would need about $990,000. That's up from $830,000 in 2020, according to the poll. Pandemic has nothing to do with this change in outlook. What people are freaking out about, understandably, is the cost of voting Democrat. In just a little over 3 years, the cost of everything, especially the basics, housing, energy, food, it's all exploded. We watch like the most basic thing when 99-cent eggs under Donald Trump jumped to $4 under Joe Biden. And I saw them more than that. Gas jumped from $2.40 under Trump to $3.53 today. And of course, you know the real part, the housing. Under Joe Biden, though, the only stability is a lack of stability, and I agree with that. It's the only thing that he's got going for him is it's predictably awful. And when you've been beaten and slapped enough, you come to expect it. They want you living in an abusive government. All of the signs are there. They want to control what you spend. They want to control what you buy. They want to control what you say. They want to control the information you're allowed to hear. They want to control even what you wear, what you put into your body. They want all of it, just the way an abusive partner wants to control mentally and physically everything about his or her partner. Abuse. And the mental anguish for young people, millennials, I'll say young people because I'm middle-aged, the anguish knowing at this rate that there is no possible way to stay on this trajectory to meet the goals that I think every worker sets out to accomplish when they enter the workforce. Someday, I'm not going to have to do this anymore. Someday, I'm going to retire and be able to do what I want, where I want, how I want, and with whom I want. And this government says, no, you don't. We're the ones who will decide. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, hour number two of the Wendy Bell Radio program, you cannot make this crap up. I've got two huge stories about this Juan Merchan, the judge in Donald Trump's hush money trial. Is it not enough that his daughter gives him a huge conflict of interest? Now his wife, we find out, worked for Letitia James. What? Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network.